Okay, what was the heaviest thing you heard of? Anybody try to lift anything live? I don't know, like a St. Bernard or something like that? Are these all inanimate? Yeah.
350 pound patient.
Oh, okay. In the care industry. Okay. That would be a challenge. I think you're definitely a good one to ask for help. Well, the reason I ask is sometimes, especially this time of year, after the holidays and everything, looking out at a new year, we've got so many goals, so many great ideas, so many hopes and things that we want to see happen in the new year. Well, this year, doggone it, it's going to happen. I'm going to hopefully get to this point, whether it's in my career, my own personal goals, my health, my finances, whatever it's going to be. Yeah, sometimes it's just so heavy, and it seems like such a burden to just start. How am I going to start on cleaning out that garage right now? That's what's staring me in the face, and it's been staring me in the face for a couple Januaries now, and it just keeps getting worse. It's not getting any better, and so. But I guess what would be that kickstart? Just to get a little momentum. And that's why we're calling this new series Momentum. It's how can we, in our spiritual growth, break out of whatever stick point, whatever has kind of kept us from moving forward, from gaining momentum, from growing closer to God, becoming more consistent in our spiritual life, being more outgoing, more trusting, more faithful in following God, growing deeper in our understanding of Him, His Word, and the life that He calls us into. What can move us into that area? And that's what we're going to talk about for the next several weeks. And today, I'm so glad that each of you are here, especially the kids. You guys are in here, because this is something I never heard until I was much older than you guys. And it's one of the most important topics I've ever come across. And I'm just super excited to share it. And it's something I want to keep talking about. And it has to do with finding our own personal pathway to God. But first, let's talk a little bit about momentum. And, we've all heard that idea and seen that picture of a snowball and how as it gains speed, it just gets bigger. And as it gets bigger and heavier, it gains more acceleration and keeps building on itself. And I love this definition of momentum that I came across. The strength or force that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. And so I want that to happen most of all. I mean, it'd be nice in my garage, but I really want it to happen in my walk with God. I want to feel that strength that allows me to continue to grow stronger and faster. Well, stronger over time, but that I'll learn my lessons faster and easier. And I'll trust in Him faster. And I'll go to prayer much sooner and quicker than what I usually do when I'm trying to just work things out on my own. I'll include God much more closely in my life. But how can I gain that kind of momentum? And so what I want to talk about today is something called spiritual pathways or sacred pathways. And it has to do with how God has created us all in this individual, unique manner. And because He's so varied and has so many facets of His personality, we can connect with Him in our own unique way that maybe is much different from the person sitting next to you. I first stumbled upon this concept in a book by a pastor named John Ortberg called God is Closer Than You Think. But this is a belief in a tradition that goes way back into the early monastery days of the Christian faith. But I love the way Ortberg puts it. God wants to be fully present with each of us. But because He made us to be different from one another, we are not identical in the activities and practices that will help us connect with Him. And you guys all know how much of a C.S. Lewis fan I am, and he touches on this concept also. Why else were individuals created but that God, loving all infinitely, should love each differently? And one of the best ways I've seen this concept in my own life is those three kiddos right there. Isn't that a killer snowman, by the way? I mean, that was... I kind of want to go back up to the mountains and see if it's still there, because that's pretty recent. I mean, that's like only a couple weeks old right there. It could still be in that forest. Just really proud of that snowman. Proud of those kids. They put a lot of time. Anyway, just a recent picture of Zoe, Lily, and Evie. And this concept just really sheds light to me, because all three of my kids, and this took me by surprise when our second came along, because I thought I had a little fatherhood thing down with Zoe, you know, and all that, and Lily just like threw me for, I mean, she was just so different than her big sister. And then Eva comes along and she's just like so different than any of them, you know, and they're just so wonderfully different. And at first it was really confusing. But then it was like, this is amazing. I get so many different ways to feel loved and to express my love. And, you know, anytime, so me and Zoe are the planners. We're the visionaries. And we like to just get together and really, you know, analyze and think about, okay, what's this trip going to look like? You know, how can we put these pieces together? You know, we can just talk and brainstorm and go over things for hours. But if I'm ever just in the mood to just kick back and watch a movie or play some catch or something like that, Lily is always there. She is just, she's my story girl. She just loves all the fantasy and sci-fi and all that kind of stuff like I love. And we can just talk about movies and stories and go on. And she's such a little story creator and writer, and that's a blast. And then Eva, how would I describe Eva? Eva always has a plan for me, let me put it that way. And so she's the engine, she's the driver. But what I love about Eva is she's always looking out for me. And she always knows where I am, always wants me. And we just have a blast together. But she's my sports girl. I mean, she's like, she now will beg to stay up to watch, you know, the second half of a Warriors game, which is usually past her bedtime, you know, and she keeps track. She's, you know, she loves to talk sports. So I've got my sports, my movies, my plan. I mean, I've just got, you know, all these incredible ways to connect with my kids. And it's just so, so wonderful. God has created all of us different. We're all His kids. And there's ways that Lily just doesn't want to. There's things that she just hates to do that her older sister loves to do. And does that, you know, make her any better or worse than her older sister, or our time, you know, any better or worse? And the reality of it is how you are drawn to God might just be a snore for another person in your household, and that's okay. And so we look around here. We all have unique personalities, unique passions, and unique spiritual pathways. And a spiritual pathway is just a context or setting for which you most naturally sense God's presence, most effectively experience spiritual growth, and most clearly hear His voice. And what's going to work for me might not work for you. And there's a whole bunch of them. And so, and this is almost a short list, but this is like what I would call the best seven, or, you know, these seven, you know, cover quite a lot of ground. But what I want to ask you today is to really think about, if you've never thought about this before, finding your pathway. And this feels so good, and it's gonna make so much sense to you. Especially if this is new to you, and it's going to go, wow, really? That's what I've always felt drew me closer to God. But I didn't know you could do that. I always thought you had to just kind of, you know, sit in church on Sunday, and, you know, that was always a little bit of a, not the most exciting thing in my life, and so I didn't feel that spiritual. Well, there's a lot more to a spiritual relationship, a personal relationship with God, than what we're doing right now. This is kind of just sort of, kind of breaks the ice, and it's supposed to get us moving deeper in to that. But let's take a look at these different pathways of the intellectual pathway, creation, relational, contemplative, activist, service and worship. And I hope, and I'm pretty sure, all of you here are going to find at least one of these, probably one, two, maybe even three, that are going to be your primary pathways of how you feel the most alive in your spiritual life and the closest to God, where He makes the most sense to you and you're the most aware of Him. And we're going to talk about why it's so important to understand and know that pathway in your life and to stay on it and make it a big priority in your life to be able to not dry up, to not feel stale or stuck spiritually. So let's start on the intellectual pathway. This is learning the pathway where you're learning more about God and spiritual matters through study, discussion, and reflection. And I love how the psalmist puts it this way: "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." And if the intellectual pathway isn't your pathway, I snore on it all day long. I use the word to fall asleep late at night when I've got insomnia. But if you're on the intellectual pathway, that's what keeps you going. You love reading, and if you're not prioritizing having a good book close by that's discussing spiritual matters and theology and biblical history and all those kinds of things, you might tend to feel like God's a little far away. And and I've shared before how when I was a teenager, I stumbled upon this exact book. In fact, this is the edition at the time, that the cover art of C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. And it started me on a path of really understanding all the stuff that you kind of hear about in church, but really wasn't making a lot of sense to me at the time. But here was somebody God put in my life that just made sense out of it. And I mean, I can read and reread anything by C.S. Lewis or by Ortberg or so many of the new authors that are out there, or the old authors, go back to St. Athanasius and St. Anselm and all the old theologians. It's what lights me up. That's one of my pathways, is the intellectual pathway. Now, that's just one of seven. If you're on the relational pathway, you know, a good book is nowhere near a good friend. And several friends. And I've got a good friend of mine, a pastor friend named Tony, who probably is in about, and I'm not joking, seven different small groups. And so I like being in one small group. That's what does it for me. I love being close with a few set of people. But if your pathway is the relational pathway, where experiencing trusted, godly relationships in your life is what helps you draw closer to God through being around other people, then this is very key for you. And I love how the book of Hebrews in the New Testament puts it, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." And the best way to do that is by being part of each other's life. And I just love this picture of these kids and how much fun they have together. But if this is your pathway, you know how important it is to have people in your life. And when you're not having several conversations in any given week to someone who knows you, that you trust, and that you can share with and be around, and they know what's going on in your life, if that's not going on, you're probably feeling that God's pretty far away. And so, but for those who are maybe on the intellectual pathway, that might be some good breathing room to be able to collect your thoughts and really kind of think through some things. But somebody on the relational pathway, that's their primary way that you meet God, You need those people to help make sense of life and to help you feel centered in your walk with God. And so, another one of my pathways that I didn't discover until recently in life, in the last couple of years, is the creation pathway. And what this is about is about being out in nature, soaking up God's handiwork. And for those of you that this might be your pathway, you just know how maybe driving out to the coast and just hearing the waves crash on the beach and just kind of have seen that just expansive view of the ocean and just the way the air smells differently and just the feel of sand between your toes, how all of a sudden, okay, God is real. Back here with the traffic and the noise and the busyness, it's just okay, it's hard to feel and see God. But when I'm at that coast, or when I'm at that lake, or when I'm up in those mountains, when I'm on those trails, all of a sudden everything comes into focus and it's clear. And it's like, why haven't I been trusting God with what's going on in my life? It's obviously He's here for me and He's been guiding and taking care of me. Those are the thoughts that now come into your mind. Whereas when you're away from that kind of beauty and being out in nature in that kind of way, maybe sometimes it's just getting out of the house or the office and taking a walk through some trees and the fresh air, and that's what it does for you. But there's a reason you feel that way. There's a reason you need to be around people or a book or out on a hike, because God has created you to meet Him in a unique way. Once you realize where your sweet spot is, where your wheelhouse, your spiritual wheelhouse occurs, you need to make that part of, if not every day, definitely every week, part of your routine in order to stay fresh and alive with God. How many of you look forward to when we come together on a Sunday and worship God through singing? Now, probably some of us, maybe most of us, that's great. I love that on Sunday. And when I'm out waiting to greet people, and Ryan's already started in here, I got to make sure my mic is off in here, because I like that when no one can hear me. I'm singing along out in the parking lot there. But maybe that's your fill here on Sunday. But if this is your pathway, Sunday doesn't do it for you. Sunday is just a drop in the bucket for what you need throughout the week. You've got several worship CDs in your car. You've got worship music everywhere around your house. And if you could, you would always have music playing somewhere. If your workplace, wherever you get a chance to put those, pop in some headphones, some earphones, wherever you would have that going, because that's what keeps you close to God. And when you don't, when you can't have that chance, because some clown's got sports radio on, or you don't have access to whatever, or internet goes out, or whatever the problem is, and you've been away from that, You feel dry. You feel spiritually lonely. You feel like, okay, where is God? It's hard to connect. And so is musical worship your spiritual pathway, where expressing your heart to God through praise and adoration needs to happen to keep you fresh and alive? And I love this passage in the Old Testament where David was a musician. He's the one who wrote, King David wrote most of our Psalms. He was, a very accomplished harpist, we know from the Old Testament, and musician. And so the boy could dance too. And so, do you remember when they finally got the Ark of the Covenant back in Israel, and he just put on a show, he just let loose,
embarrassed the heck out of his family. But David wearing his underwear, basically. He goes Will Ferrell here for a minute. David wearing a linen ephod danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. That was David's pathway, was music. And for those of you who that's your pathway, you know what I'm talking about, where you just light it up, and whether it's the shower, the car, or wherever you are, that you can just let go and make a joyful noise and just let it out to God. And just having music going on around you is what keeps you fresh and focused. Okay, some of you are on the activist pathway. And I know a few of you who are. And that was, you know, Jesus fulfills all these pathways. And this is kind of where sacred pathways began, was in seeing the different attributes of Jesus. And but defending a cause or standing up to an injustice, I don't know if you can read that, but I thought that was kind of funny, so I put it on there. And even Jesus, who, you know, was so, most of the time, you know, so gentle, so forgiving, he turned things upside down when people were messing with God's purpose for the temple and for worship and for his Father's house. And this line, you know, that he quotes from the Old Testament, well, the disciples quoted it when they saw him in action, and then reminded him of that line, "Zeal for your house will consume me." My enthusiasm and excitement for God's house will take over my actions and my words. And when Jesus kicked over all those tables, when he saw those abuses of what was going on in the temple with the money changers and all those things, his activist side came out. And if you have that spiritual pathway of the activist, God doesn't seem at work in the world unless you're able to be part of a cause that's changing the world. But when you are part of something that is making a difference, and you're surrounded with like-minded people, all of a sudden, again, now, your faith becomes so much more real. You know, I remember years ago, I used to get so many pats on the back for this as a youth pastor. It's so funny. And every time I see this young woman, I remind her how she gets all the credit. I used to take some of it. But parents used to come and say, "Thank you for leading this 30-hour family, this fasting that we would do through World." It was one of World Vision's ministries and youth groups and all kinds of groups around the world for the same 30 days every year. Would do a 30-hour fast, a 30-hour famine, and also raise money and collect food for local food banks and raise money for those to fight world hunger. And so, but parents just loved how their kids were really kind of learning a lesson. And not only, you know, if for certain kids, if fasting from food wasn't the healthiest thing, or fasting from electronics was an option. You know, that was sometimes even a better thing to encounter for a lot of teenagers. Parents appreciated that. But I always remember how this little sophomore girl came and plopped herself in my office one day and said, "Rick, do you know how many millions of children are starving around the world?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't got a calculator, kiddo, but why don't you tell me?" And she started informing me on the details and what are we going to do about it as a youth. What are we going to do? And years ago, that's what got us started in that ministry. All because of a young woman who just had that activist spirit in her that wanted to be part of a cause that was going to do some good. And so maybe you've been part of causes like that in your past. That's when your faith was the strongest, but it's been a while since you felt that. And it's like, well, how come, you know, I remember years ago, God seemed so
get back on it and fight for that cause that God is calling you to be a part of. Maybe you're on the service pathway. And this is the pathway for those of you that have to be doing something with your hands. And you don't need to be up front. You don't need any accolades. You don't need to anything but some tasks to do that will help somebody somewhere. And so I remember, you know, this fun thing we did for one of our neighbors a while ago, and how everybody pitched in. These guys are shoveling manure here, and they could have done it all day long because they just love to help. You know, and those guys would have planted, just garden after garden until it got dark because of that, just that love to help, because it just, those of you on the service pathway, it just fires you up. And if you don't have a chance or an opportunity to lend a hand, again, you're not feeling the spiritual growth that you need to be feeling. You're not feeling the challenge. And if you just, you know, had to go to Bible study, you know, and learn. You know, when I say Bible study, those of you on the intellectual pathway light up, yeah, let me do a Bible study, you know, and then those of you guys on the relational pathway, well, at least we'll get to kind of hang out at a Bible study, right, and do some stuff, and we get to sing some songs, you know. And so, but the, you know, those on the service pathways, yeah, that's all great talking about it. Let's go do it. Let's get some stuff done. And so, and that is great. That is awesome. Doing hands-on tasks to help others. I mean, Jesus says this is a defining part of our life. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Simple things. You know, offering a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, feeding the hungry, clothing the poor, visiting the sick and those in prison. How can we be of help? Okay, is this the last one? Yeah, so contemplative. If this is you, maybe you've been criticized for this. It's like, why don't you come down from the clouds? Why don't you get, you know, where are you? Well, you know, where have you been? And people that aren't on the contemplative pathway have a hard time understanding those on that pathway, because sometimes they seem kind of like loners. Sometimes they seem like they're always kind of disappearing. Jesus ran into that. Again, he fulfills all these pathways. We could go on all day about how Jesus was the full culmination of these. But Jesus always needed his alone time. Always off again. He would rise up early and be praying in a lonely place, is how the New Testament would often describe. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And even the Son of God needed that time, one-on-one with his Heavenly Father, to reflect, to just be. You know, that famous line in the Old Testament that the kids, was their memory verse last week, "Be still and know that I am God." And so if you're on that contemplative pathway, you know how good it feels. I'm not showing my hand at all. That's one of my pathways. You know how good it feels to have some long blocks of solitude, of uninterrupted time to just think and reflect and let God speak to you. Because that's how he speaks to you, is in that quiet. If you're on the relational pathway, you hear God very clearly through other people. And what may be noisy to a contemplative is coming in crystal clear through other people in your life, through music if you're on the worship pathway, through books and the written word on the intellectual pathway. But contemplatives just need to be by yourself. Not allowing yourself that time in your weekly routine, it's going to be hard. It's going to be heavy on you to feel God's presence and hear his voice in your life. And so here's the awesome news today, is whichever pathway you're on. That pathway was made for you and you for it, and it's great. And it's like spiritual gifts. It's like, however, you know, celebrate what God has given to you, and it doesn't matter what the person sitting next to you does. And now you're freed up to know, I get to be me. I don't have to be this intellectual with, you know, this volume of books to be able to understand all this stuff. All I want to do is just want to help out. I just want to have something to do that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. That is how you connect with God. And if you're a contemplative, it's like, okay, I don't have to be like, you know, so busy with everything. I can, you know, but I do need my alone time. And you've got permission to do that. And you have to do that. It's not like you're being invited to do that. You have to. Otherwise, your spiritual life is going to be in a rut. Another quote from Lewis. If all experienced God in the same way and returned Him in identical worship, the song of the church triumphant would have no symphony. It would be like an orchestra. Be like just a bunch of tubas playing one note. An orchestra in which all the instruments played the same note. I mean, it would be boring. You'd be just a bunch of Stormtrooper Clone Wars types, right? And so, but you're all so unique and so custom made. And God wants to meet you where you're at and share something special with you. Okay, but here's a bit of a challenge and a bit of a caution to finding your pathway. So a challenge and a caution here. But let me first ask, has everybody got at least one pathway that you saw on there? Okay, did we leave anybody? Everybody's got something? And so if you felt like, great, I'm 0 for 7, give me something. Okay, let's grab some coffee and there's more that are a little more nuanced. We'll find something for you. But I have a feeling we covered everybody. Cover everybody? Okay. And so, is sports a pathway? Yeah? It's like, no? Like, it's like pop culture, movie quotes a pathway somehow? Okay. There's something for everybody. Now, here's the thing. So the challenge is to find your pathway. And, okay, hopefully you found it today. And it was pretty simple and clear when you saw yours and it was described. Maybe you have a couple of them. And so, but if not, I really want to talk to you to help me help that fit out. But once you find that pathway, you've got to. But this is going to make everything so much easier this year and in your future. When you make it a priority for your week to give yourself time on that pathway. Okay, because if you're stuck in an office or a kitchen all week long or whatever your context is in your workplace or your home, family, routine, whatever it is, and you're on the creation pathway, okay, it's going to be hard to feel alive in God. It's just going to be. And so you've got to create that space outside in the fresh air of God's amazing creation for yourself. And I'll help you with that. I mean, that's just an example. I mean, I've had to do that for myself. And it's just changed everything for me. Okay, so here's when I can get a great book on a lake by myself. Oh my gosh, I just did that. It's like the world's perfect. Okay, I mean, I'm just hitting all cylinders right there. And so where can you be hitting all cylinders? Because if you give yourself those opportunities, your spiritual life will just take off. I mean, you will feel so much closer to God and you just feel so much more bulletproof when all those challenges and stresses and frustrations that are inevitable are getting when they come along. Okay, so that's a challenge. You have to do this. Okay, I can't encourage you enough. I almost demand it. Let's get on our pathways. It's amazing. It will change everything. It will begin that momentum in your spiritual life. Okay, but here's the caution. Okay. Okay, we can't just say, well, you know, I'm on the intellectual pathway, so I'm not having to help out. Okay, because again, our goal in life is to become like Jesus. That's God's goal for each of us. And again, Jesus fulfilled all things, from service to activist to everything. And so we can't neglect, if worship's not on my pathway, it doesn't mean I don't, you know, sing along. I have the worst voice ever. I still want to engage in corporate worship with my church family and sing the songs together. I'm called to live a life of worship. I'm called to live a life of service. I'm called to be still and know God. I'm called to have people around me and be in relationship with other disciples of God following Him. So we're called to have all these components involved in our lives. But we need to know which are the ones we need every week. And we need to be intentionally involved in that are going to make us stronger individually and for everybody around us. And God's going to be able to do an incredible work through because we have that going on in our life. But it's not an excuse and it's not permission to avoid or to minimize other opportunities. Okay, I'm not an activist, so you guys go to Mexico without kind of a thing. No, try it. You know, and it's just going to be a lot harder for you than other people that's their pathway. But they, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't go to a Bible study. It doesn't mean that you don't dig into the Word of God if you're not on the intellectual pathway. God's going to use that and do something really special for you. It just may not be your primary way to meet God. Does that make sense? We've got to be open and allow and not avoid the other pathways. But what we can't do is neglect our primary pathways that are going to keep us fresh and focused and energized in our spiritual life. And so, if anybody wants to, again, talk in more detail about these pathways, it's something that's changed my life. And I'm pretty confident that if you'll invest in getting on your primary pathways, it's going to be an awesome change and ignition spiritually in your life. And so, Ryan, come on up. And this is the part, you know, where those on the worship path are like, yes, Ryan's coming back. I'm done with the message. It's cool. Yeah, I get to sing some more. And so, and I want to just, as Ryan comes up and leads us in some more worship, for those of you that it's your first time here at Neighborhood, you know, every Sunday we celebrate communion. We come to the Lord's table and we just remind ourselves that the reason we do that is because Jesus laid down His life for each of us. He cemented His love for us with His body and His blood. And as we come to His table and we take the bread and here we grab a piece of bread and we just dip it in the juice. And we do that in our own timing. And some people do that every week. Some people do it, I don't know. They don't really keep track. It's in whatever timing you want. But you're invited and to come to Jesus' table, to meet Him in that special way there anytime during our worship time. So, Lord Jesus, thank You that we have an opportunity to walk in Your footsteps and follow pathways to lead us closer to our Heavenly Father. And Lord, thank You for the example that You showed us. And so, Lord, show us that pathway that we're created for the most. And Lord, help us to stay on it. And Lord, let that be just an incredible thing in this new year to be closer to You, to be more trusting of You, to just be able to hear Your voice more clearly. Because because now we've positioned ourselves in a place that just makes more sense for us. Because that's how you created us. You want us to be there. So Lord, help us all get on that path. We pray this.